Every year without fail, after the Yom Tov season has concluded, we hear people making all kinds of comments about how much food they ate over Yom Tov and how they feel that it's time for them to go on an extreme and excessive diet. And it made me think about all of these unbearable diets that people go on sometimes in the season after Yom Tov, when people try to compare how many pounds they can lose in the shortest amount of time. Somebody just told me he lost 30 pounds in 5 weeks. I would imagine that's probably not very healthy at all. But he's very proud of this diet that he's on. And it made me think about a general question that even though these diets may be effective and may actually work for the objective that you want to try to accomplish, being that they are unhealthy, is it something that I'm even allowed to do? So the story really begins as follows. We start with the general prohibition, which is what the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam speak about, where we're told, Asur la'adam lachbol v'chabero. I am not allowed to injure, I'm not allowed to damage or harm another human being. Now, chabero here doesn't mean only if it's my friend. Obviously, it means I'm not allowed to injure or harm any human being. Doesn't matter if I like the person or I don't like the person. It is not permissible. V'lochovo b'vad ela kol ha'makes chabero. The Rambam writes, not only are we talking about somebody who makes another individual bleed, that's chavala, but even makenas chavero ben katan, ben gadol, ben isha, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, whether it's an adult, whether it's a child, hareze over belosase. The Rambam, as quoted in Hilchos Chovel, Umazik, as well as in Hilchos Sanhedrin, quoted as well in Shulchan Aruch, Choshem Mishpat, Simen Tavchav, the Rambam says that we have a prohibition to be chovel b'chavero. How do we know that? We learn that from the pasuk of Arba'im Yakenu. The Torah says there are certain circumstances where we must hit another person, and that is where the person is worthy of getting malchus, where they are supposed to be getting lashes from the Beis Din. Beis Din appoints an individual who is going to be the one to give those malchus. However, the Torah warns, Arba'im Yakenu, there is a certain amount of malchus that need to be administered, and not one more, not one less. Lo Yosef pen Yosef. The Torah says you're not allowed to give more than you are allowed. And from there, the Rambam says, we have the prohibition of make es chavero. The Rambam then goes poetically and he says, if we're not allowed to even hit a Rasha, meaning this person deserves to be hit, and the Beis Din says you should be laying on the ground and being hit, and I mistakenly hit him one extra time, I violate an avera of Lo Yosef, says the Rambam, if you're not even allowed to hit a Rasha, certainly you're not allowed to hit a righteous person. So there's an amazing story told about the great Rav Chaim Ozer when he had an interaction, I'm sure there were many, but he had an interaction with the Ostravtsa Rebbe. My father told me this story many years ago when they were together in a forest on one occasion, and he said that he was together with this great Adam Gadol. I never really heard of him outside of this story, but they say he was a tremendous Goyen and he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, this Ostravtsa Rebbe. And Reb Chaim Ozer was together with him, and each one of them was telling the other, I'd like to be mechabed you to say the first of our Torah. And he turned back to him and he said, what do you mean? But you're the Gadol Ador, Reb Chaim Ozer, you should say the first of our Torah. And Reb Chaim Ozer turned back to him and he said, no, but you're an Adam Gadol. So he said, you know, if you call me a Gavraba, you call me an Adam Gadol, I'll listen to you, but I'll tell you a Dvar Torah about what it means to be a Gavar Rabba. What does it mean to be an Adam Gadol? And he referenced the following Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Makos, how foolish people are that they stand up when we take a Sefer Torah out of the Yaron Kodesh, v'lo mekame mekame Gavar Rabba. The Gemara says they stand up when they see an actual Sefer Torah being taken out of the Yaron Kodesh, because everybody knows you must be in an upright position when the Sefer Torah is in motion. However, when a great Talmud Chacham, when a Gavar Rabba, the Gemara says, walks into the room, most people aren't so careful. Most people don't really go out of their way to stand up for the Talmud Chacham, even though they are supposed to. Now, the Gemara says, how do you know that we have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham just because we stand up for a Sefer Torah? What's the correlation there? Sefer Torah is a Sefer Torah. What does that have to do with a Talmud Chacham? So the Gemara says, no, because a Talmud Chacham is even greater than a Sefer Torah. How do you know? The Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Because the Torah says in Parshas Kisetze, the Torah tells us, Arba'im Yakenu. Torah says when you have a Rasha, and he does something wrong, you lay him down on the ground in the Beis Din after his trial, and you give him Malchus 40 times. And yet the Gavar Rabba, the Talmud Chacham, came along and said, nah, the Torah doesn't really mean 40, it only means 39. Says the Gemara, don't you see the great power of a Talmud Chacham? He could take a pasuk in Chumash that says, hit the person 40 times, and he can say, no, let's downgrade it to be only 39. So you see that the power of a Talmud Chacham is even greater than the power of the Torah itself. Ask the Ostrovtzer Rebbe, it's a very beautiful Gemara. However, he says, we have a pasuk that can prove that way earlier in Chumash. You don't have to go all the way till Kisetze, where the Torah outlines the details of Malkus. Why don't you prove it already from Parshas Emor? What do we have in Parshas Emor? There at the end of the Parsha, we're told about all the Moadim, all the different Yamim Tovim. And in the context of the Yamim Tovim, we learn about Shavuos. And it says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, it says we have a mitzvah of Sfiros HaOmer, we should count 50 days. And the Chachamim came along and said, no, don't take the Pasuk literally. It doesn't really mean 50, it only means 49. So what do you mean? The Talmud Chacham came along and changed the meaning of the Pasuk. Why do you have to wait till Parshas Kisetze to prove the point? Why don't you prove it from Parshas Emor? Said the Ostrovtzer Rebbe, you want to know what it means to be a Talmud Chacham. What does it mean to be a Gavur Rebbe? It doesn't mean that you're a smart person who knows how to make a drasha from a Pasuk, 49, 50, that's no big deal. Anybody can do that. You can be a smart person, read a Pasuk, reinterpret it to mean something else. Very nice. That doesn't make you a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't make you a Gavur Rebbe. What makes a person a Gavur Rebbe is when we have a Rasha, who's a Rasha through and through, and he did an Avera b'mezid, and now he's sitting on the floor of the Beis Din getting Malkus, and we warned him not to do it before he violated the Avera. We gave him Hasra, and he said, Afal Pikein Aniyosa, I'm going to do it anyway because I don't care, in defiance. And now he's lying on the ground and he's being hit by the Beis Din, and the Chachamim come along and say, how can you hit a Rasha 50 times? Let's 39, 40 times. Let's figure out how we're going to lighten the load of the Rasha. How are we going to make sure that he only gets hit 39 times instead of 40? My father told me that's what Reb Chaim Moser was taught at the time. That's what a gadol means. That's what an adam gadol. That's what a gavur rebbe, says the Gemara. That's how we prove that you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Not because of all of his great genius and all the drushes he can make. Obviously, that's a part of it. But he also has to figure out, how can I find a place in my heart to lighten the load of that Rasha who's laying on the floor in the basin, and the Torah tells me to hit him 40 times, and I'm going to figure out how to make life easier even for him and hit him only 39 times. Anyway, that's what we are told about Chovel B'Chaver. You're not allowed to hit another person. And the Rambam says you will be in violation of a lav, where the Torah says, Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. That's by the Malkus. And there the Minchas Chinuch has a discussion, Mitzvah Memches. What if the person gave me permission to hit them? I couldn't think of an example. Maybe the permission would be, I'm in a boxing match with somebody else, and it's pleasurable for him to be in this boxing match. I don't know how much pleasure you get from that. But imagine the person obviously goes into the rink with consent, or you play tackle football. We know that sometimes people are going to get hurt. Obviously, by signing up to play the game, it means I know that I'm allowing other teammates to hurt me, even though it doesn't really make sense. But those are the games that we play, and sometimes we allow people to hurt us. So the Minchas Chinuch has a suffix. Would I be allowed to give somebody permission to hurt me? And would I be allowed to hurt the other person when they give me that allowance, when they give me their consent? Would that remove the Isser of Chovel B'Chaveira, or perhaps not? The Minchas Chinuch is not sure about this. However, Shulchan Aruch Harav makes it very clear that one absolutely has no right to give consent to another human being to hurt them. And he says, Aser lahakos as chaveira, afilu hu nosin lo rishus lahakoso. Even if the other person gave me permission to hurt them, and I have a clearance to do what I'm about to do, ki ein li adam rishus al gufo klal lahakoso. My body does not belong to me. We assume that our bodies belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave them to us to do certain things in the world, and we don't have a right to give anybody permission to do anything to our bodies. And therefore, he says, one would have no right at all, even if I get full permission from the individual who I'm about to damage, who I'm about to injure, I have no right to go ahead with that permission, because the body does not belong to me. So Reb Zevin has an amazing passage. Again, my father showed this to me as a kid. He used to show us the Reb Zevin's beautiful Sefer L'Or HaHalacha. And Reb Zevin there, we never were interested as kids in reading this, but my father always showed it to us anyway, and when we became Bar Mitzvah, he gave us our own set. I think my father still gives it to Bar Mitzvah boys, the set of Reb Zevin's beautiful Svarim. And there it sticks out of my mind. My father showed us as children what Reb Zevin writes about Mishpat Shylock. What is the story of Shylock? So that is from the Shakespearean narrative in the 16th century, when he talks about the strange story of the merchant of Venice who couldn't find a place to borrow money, and he goes to this Jewish moneylender, and he gets the money from him, and the Jewish moneylender says, the only way I'm going to give you the money is if you trade it into me for a pound of flesh. That was the condition, that if you don't pay back in time, I'm going to be able to cut off a pound of your flesh. Now the merchant says, maybe it's worth it for me, because right now I need the money, I'm in a bind, even though it doesn't seem so ethical at all. So Reb Zevin takes that story from Shakespeare, and he explores what the halacha would say about such a thing. Am I allowed to agree to give away a pound of flesh in order to borrow money, even though I need the money? And maybe for me it's worth it, but maybe I don't have a right. Reb Zevin comes to the conclusion after a lengthy discussion, obviously you would not be allowed to consent to such a thing. Why? Because, like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, our bodies don't belong to us. I don't have a right to make a decision that somebody can damage or mutilate my body, even though I feel it's necessary for me in order to get the loan, to get the money. It would be something that is completely off limits. What's fascinating is when we talk about Adam HaMazik, when we talk about somebody who damages somebody else, there's an aspect of Adam HaMazik that is very different from every other Avera. In general, we assume if I violate an Avera B'shogeg, or certainly B'ones, if I violate an Avera B'ones, I walk into a room, I'm a Misasek. I walk into a room on Shabbos, the lights go on. I had no idea the lights were going to go on. Now, maybe I should have done the research before. But let's say this is a place where they never had automatic lights. All of a sudden, they change them on me. I walk in the first time, and now the lights go on. Am I going to have to bring a carbon chatas? No, it was a misasek. I didn't even know what I was doing. When we talk about all averas in the Torah, we assume if somebody violates an avera be'ones, I am not held accountable, I am not responsible. When we talk about an adam hamazik, the Gemara says clearly in Baba Kama that a man who damages, man or a woman, who damages another person is chayiv, whether it's beratzon, whether it's be'ones, whether I realized what I was doing, I didn't realize what I was doing. If I damage somebody else and that is the result of my action, I am going to be chayiv, so much so that the Gemara says, even if I do it in my sleep. So if I happen to be the kind of person who sleepwalks, and in the course of my sleepwalking, I knock over some glass vase, and now I break something, that will be my responsibility. So the Rishonim then take it a step further, the Tosas and the Ramban have a discussion. What about if at the time that I went to sleep, I made sure that my room was clear from all the things that could possibly break? And then, while I was sleeping, somebody came and decided to store all of their glass vases in my room, and now that I'm sleepwalking, I end up breaking something. So the Ramban says, that's unreasonable. I did the responsible thing to make sure that nothing would happen, and now somebody came and changed the circumstance while I was sleeping, you can't hold me accountable. Anyway, that's a discussion there. But the general understanding is that one is not allowed to damage another human being, you're not allowed to hurt another person. Now we look at a pasuk in our parsha, where the Torah says, "Ach es dimchem lenafsho seichem edrush." And here the Torah in Parshas Noach teaches us that we are not allowed to be involved in some kind of activity that we don't exactly know what it means. So Rashi defines for us, quoting a Gemara, what is the Torah talking about? And the Rashi writes that one is not allowed to commit suicide. Ach es dimchem lenafsho seichem edrosh. If you take your own blood, if you take your own life, I will hold you responsible. Now, this is not talking about somebody who has a psychological problem, and because of that they're depressed, and because of that they end up committing suicide, rachmana litzlan. Obviously, those are very different circumstances. We're talking about the way my father always taught me when we learned these sugyas. My father always said, we're talking about a person who the Achronim call somebody who does an avera like this, who commits suicide theologically, because you believe it's the right thing to do. Because life should not be lived. It's better that I should be dead than I should be alive. Not because of depression or some kind of illness, but I do it because I believe theologically this is the right thing to do. The way my father always said it was, kederach hafilosofim. That's what the Achronim write. I commit suicide because the philosophers convinced me that that's the right way. Instead of living life, I should really die for God. So there the Torah says, you are going to be held responsible. The Achronim say, ein lo chelek le'olam haba. Very extreme. Now the Gemara extends that beyond death, and the Gemara says, what about a person who doesn't actually commit suicide, but someone who is chovel ba'atzmo? This is a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph, and the Gemara says, two opinions, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, what would you say about somebody who's chovel ba'atzmo? Not that I'm damaging somebody else, not that I'm injuring somebody else, but I'm injuring myself. Would I have a right to do that? Or perhaps not. And the Gemara says, maybe from this pasuk you learn, ach es dimchem lenafsho seichem edrosh. The same way I'm not allowed to take my own life and commit suicide, maybe I'm also not allowed to hurt myself. And the Gemara gets into a discussion, are we able to learn it from this pasuk, are we not? But basically, this is a major discussion that the Gemara has about whether or not somebody is allowed to be chovel ba'atzmo, and the Gemara does not come to a clear resolution. It's a machlokes hatanaim. And the Rishonim there have a major dispute about it as well. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes a minority opinion that there were those who felt a person has a right, lachvol ba'atzmo. I have a right to damage and injure myself. If I make that choice, that's a choice I have a right to make. Nobody else could tell me not so. However, the majority position is, almost all the Rishonim believe, the Rif and the Rush and the Rambam writes is unequivocally clear. The Rambam says that we believe a person has no right, Asur la'adam lachvo ba'atzmo, person has no right to damage and injure themselves. And like we said before, the Rambam says, if the Torah says you're not even allowed to injure the Rasha, lo Yosef, when you're giving him Malkus, he's laying on the ground, he deserves it. I'm not even allowed to hurt him, then certainly I wouldn't be allowed to hurt a tzaddik, I wouldn't be allowed to hurt myself either. So that is the position of most of the Acharonim. And the Radvaz explains, in giving an interpretation into one of the psukim of the Rambam says a person is not allowed to walk into a beis din and incriminate himself and say, I'm chayiv Malkus. Why not? Why shouldn't I be allowed to do that? I know I did something wrong. I'm confessing, I'm being honest, I incriminate myself, and I say, please, give me the Malkus that I deserve, says the Rambam, you're not believed. Why? The Radvaz explains, because the Torah says, Hanafashos Lihena. It's not in the Torah, it's in Navi, where the Pasuk says in Yecheskel that Hanafashos Lihena, we believe that our nefesh, that our soul, and that our body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Ein Nafsho Shel Adam Kinyano, says the Radvaz. My body is not in my position, it doesn't belong to me, that I have a right to decide how I'm going to spend it, how I'm going to use it or not. And therefore, the Radvaz explains, that's why a person has no right to walk in and incriminate himself and say, I want to be Chayiv Malkus, because you don't have a right to ask somebody to hit you, because Asur la'adam lachvo ba'atzmo. And based on that, the Achronim say, let's say, for example, you have a patient who comes into a hospital and they need some kind of routine procedure. And I say, you know what? I don't want the procedure. I'd rather die from it. And all the doctors look at this patient and say, you'd rather die from this? This is a routine procedure. We do it every day. And the patient always lives and everything is fine. Once in a million, something goes wrong, whatever it is. But generally, a person can live a long life after they have this very simple, non-invasive procedure. Would I be allowed to listen to the patient in such a case? The Acharonim say no. The Magen Avraham quotes it in Hilchos Shabbos. He says, a patient would not have a right to make that decision if most regular people who you would ask would say, yeah, it's a minimally invasive procedure. This is what most people would do under this circumstance. Says the Magen Avraham, quoting other Achronim, you wouldn't be allowed to listen to them. Why? Because you don't have a right to make that decision. Now, when it's something that's not so clear, so then it's a major discussion. But the Magen Avraham says, if it's an ingrown toenail, everybody would want it taken care of, because I'll be comfortable, I'll have whatever it is that needs to be done, they'll get rid of the infection, and then we'll move on with life. Obviously, says the Magen Avraham, and this is quoted by others as well, I would have to take that doctor's opinion, go along with what they're telling me to do, because my life is not in my hands to decide how I want to spend it. And therefore we assume, because asur la'adam lachvo ba'atzmo, the same way I'm not allowed to physically cause myself to be hurt, so too I'm not allowed to unintentionally cause it by refusing to take a treatment that most people would agree to do. So Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with the specifics of what we started with today, but this is just the foundation of this general discussion and what the halacha has to say about asur la'adam lachvo ba'atzmo.